This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the Morning Run. You're with me, Julian Ng, as well as my colleague, Sharis Abdullah. And we're looking at a roundup of the international markets. The U.S. Markets did very well yesterday because of the Fed's dovishness recently. And the Dow went up just a touch under 1%. NASDAQ closed up about 1.5%. And the S&P 500 closed just over 1%. There was also a climb of tech shares alongside real estate stocks as well. And the dollar rebounded while bond yields on treasuries came down as well.
Yeah, and
I think the oil price and gold prices declined as well.
Sorry about that. Well, Asia doesn't look so bad as well. It looks like a number of markets has gone up. Nikkei has gone up by 0.2%. Shanghai Composite has gone up by 0.4%. Kospi up by 0.4%. And Singapore, too, up by 0.2%. Hang Seng is the only one that has gone down 0.9%. But, of course, following suit is KLCI, also down by 1.2%.
1.2%, yes. And just in terms of the news, Boeing has developed a software patch and a pilot training program to address issues with the very embattled Boeing 737 MAX.
And also a jeans company, Levi Strauss, company raised about $623 million in its IPO, pricing shares above the marketed range, returned to stock market after 34 years since,
Yeah, so this is the second stock listing for Levi's. And Levi's IPO actually prompted NYSE to loosen their dress code. People can actually go into the exchange right now wearing jeans, which they couldn't do before. There's a dress code there.
It's becoming a trend, isn't it? I mean,
around the world.
Even in Malaysia as well.
Yeah.
I mean, several companies, I think, have started introducing a very casual dress code day. Friday, but beyond that. And also, owners of WeChat and other platforms, Tencent missed the mark on its fourth quarter earnings due to its increased spending in its various business. Tencent is up to 10% of the Hang Seng, and on Brexit, Theresa May has requested for an extension to 30th of June for the based on the discussion with the EU.
Yep, and the Bank of England has held rates steady, so did Indonesia and Philippines Central Bank after the US Fed signaled its dovishness. Broadly speaking, markets are still embracing themselves for more news on the US-China trade tensions. We have Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of COFAS Hong Kong, to talk to us more about this. Good morning, Carlos. So the remaining sticking points in the trade negotiation is whether the US and China will play nice with each other. Apart from China, what other countries will be most vulnerable to, should negotiations continue to stall?
Good morning. So yes, we're all expecting some form of deal to come out of that meeting in Mar-a-Lago next month. However, as we've been saying for the past couple of months, it's unlikely that the U.S. will completely abandon that 10% tariff level that is currently in place, even though the threat to increase that level to 25 is rather narrow in our opinion. So countries that have been affected by this tariff level already will continue to feel the squeeze. And we, in order to assess this, we need to look at their exports to China as a percentage of GDP. Of course, we could do a dependency index, but because a lot of these exports are in supply chains that are very concentrated in China, it's not necessary. Things like ICT and auto parts. So we see definitely a lot of exposure still for Taiwan and Korea, but surprisingly, Malaysia is the third country on that list as well, followed by Singapore. So these countries will continue to see the tariffs pinch on their demand going forward.
Carlos, central banks of the Philippines and Indonesia, now they followed the lead of the Fed meeting, leaving the interest rate unchanged. Now, do you foresee that this trend is likely to continue for the rest of ASEAN?
Yes, I think that the tides have changed a little bit. So we have on the one side a much more dovish Fed, and that became very, very clear following from the meeting yesterday. But we also have a bunch of central banks or a bunch of governments that are going to stimulate their economies in 2019. So places like China and the European Union and Japan. So that's created an environment that is conducive or more favorable for Asian emerging markets. So there's no hurry to hike rates in 2019. Now, there are a few countries that are potentially going to be outliers, but in the other direction. So we do foresee some pressure to cut rates in markets that are currently struggling with growth, and that includes India, of course, after the elections, as well as Philippines with a new governor potentially before that May election, just to keep things a little bit more accommodative.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of Coface in Hong Kong. I guess investors are going to like this pause in interest rates markets. So will probably react quite positively to it over the long term, or over the medium term at least. But the economic situation may not be all hunky-dory.
Yeah, so it still remains uncertain, especially with what's going on between U.S. and China. But I guess this announcement is giving some form of stability. This announcement from the Fed, coming out from the Fed meeting, is giving some form of stability for a lot of markets out there.
Yeah, and the China-U.S. trade tensions continue to prolong. However, we had a very interesting discussion yesterday with Christian de Guzman from Moody's, saying that some countries like Malaysia may benefit from these tensions because you're going to see a reconfiguration of the supply chains, right, around the world and around the region. And some of these orders may flow through as a result of the reconfiguration. Also, this other big news, Sharitz, that Chinese President Xi Jinping will start a six-day visit in Europe today. And he's going to visit Italy and Morocco, where he will be the first Chinese president to visit that country, and also France. I think the idea here is that he wants the EU to buy in to the idea of the Belt and Road Initiative.
Yeah, so he will, you know, Italy is the first country, the first of the G7 country to be signing up with the Belt and Road Initiative. And they're looking into tying up on the transcontinental infrastructure project, which some of the critics are saying that Beijing allows, you know, the trade present day investment for, you know, for Italy's future leverage.
Yeah, but a lot of people are worried about this sign up. Even certain officials within Italy themselves are asking the question of why the top officials are signing up to China. There's a lot of suspicion with China. And this is a way for China to basically gain diplomatic support over the long term, even though in the short term, I guess they're giving money away, and that's why there is that attraction, right? Italy is signing up because infrastructure projects bring a lot of economic growth to those regions that are affected.
Yeah, and Italy has not been doing well economically, and I think China is a source of investment for them at the moment. And at the same time, this is also, you know, a lot there. Besides the prime minister, the deputy, and also the opposition are also looking at this as an issue of sovereignty. I mean, again, a concern raised by many other countries, even Malaysia.
Yep, together with the Huawei TIFF as well.
Yes,
with the US. But the other big thing that's happening right now is also the European presidency elections. The parliamentary elections are coming up between May 23rd and 26th. So a lot of jostling for the presidency there. The EU's top antitrust regulator, Margrethe Vestager, is going to put in her bid for the presidency. And she's very tough, right? She's a tough enforcer of competition rules. She has fined Google and Apple and so on. And I guess in other places, this is making the parliamentarians speak out more about issues just to get that publicity, right? In fact, that's the reason why the EU is talking about palm oils as well. Okay, we'll be back with more news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.